And welcome to Offsides with Mark and Lutz. Whoa, listen to that voice go. Is that what happens when you've been doing the show all week? Hello. Great to be with you guys on a Friday edition of the show. I thought the voice was just going to keep going up and up and up. Awesome to be here. Rolling on 3 to 7 p.m. this afternoon. And so much to get to along the way. We want you to be a part of this thing. Here's how you can do it. 1-844-477-3776 is the number. 71307 is the text line. Simply start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. You can get to us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word, at Mark Ryan on Air. That's at M-A-R-C Ryan on Air. And you may email the show. Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. I will tell you what. We're absolutely loaded today. Coming up at 3:20, the man that coached Furman baseball from 2004 to 2016, he was really responsible for the brand new facility that Furman has. He's going to join us at 3:20 in the very next segment to kind of get us up to speed on what all's going on with the effort to save the Furman baseball team. Five coaches under the most pressure this coming season in college football. And I want to make myself abundantly clear here. Under the most pressure is a different category to me than hot seat coaches. All right? Everybody knows that Clay Helton and Will Muschamp are on the hot seat. Those guys aren't on this list. Under pressure. This is a very different list that we have today, and we'll get to it at 3:40. The not-so-subtle hint that one NFL franchise is sending its star, coming your way at 3:50, Caden DeFronzo is our senior sports spotlight athlete. He's going to be joining us at 4 p.m. this afternoon, and at 4:20, you know how you have those benchmarks during your show or during a presentation that you might be given, and you're really looking forward to getting to that particular part of the presentation? This is it for me at 4:20 today, where I'm going to ask you for the time in your life that you have been the most incensed at your rival, the time when your rival pissed you off the most. What was the event? What happened? What caused it? How did we get from here to there? How did you survive the experience? That is coming your way at 4:20, and do I have some stories to share with you? Plus, my own personal experience with police abuse and brutality and how it shaped my life moving forward, I will share with you at 4:40 this afternoon today. As is always the case, we welcome your participation in the show, and I want to open with this. Folks, I don't know if you realize this, but, you know, the more you think about it and the more that you talk to people inside NBA circles, the more you realize one thing. There is one reason and one reason only that the NBA is even considering doing something that Lonzo does not want them to do. You see, I'm fascinated with all things soccer, so I like the fact that the NBA is looking at this group stage for the playoffs very much like a World Cup group stage. Instead of four teams in the World Cup, you'd have five teams in the NBA, and everybody, round-robin style in the group, would play each other twice, and the top two seeds would advance. But why would you do that? Why would you do that if you needed to shorten the season or have this thing over really quickly? Why would you have five teams in the group and not four? You could simply keep the 16 playoff teams you've always had. You could run four groups of four teams, and you could have the top two teams advance. You could have 16 teams in the playoff. Why would you suddenly create five teams in four groups? Why would you do that? Anybody? Fry? Bueller? Lonzo, I don't know if the voice is going to last today, man. I don't know if you're hearing what's going on over here, but it's like, hello!
Yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely enjoying it, and I cannot wait till hour three. That's gonna be the tell there.
You might not be wanting to wait till hour three, because what might be happening is this show might evolve into like What would you say our normal breakdown of speeches on this show? 80-20 me, 75-25 me? This might be 75-25 you by the time it's over with. We got to get you a raise, man.
That's funny. That is so funny.
So here's the thing. There is one reason and one reason only this is happening, and there's never been a demand for this at any other time. I'm not so sure this is rooted in competitive fairness. I'm not so sure this is just, but it just goes to show you what we always surmised, folks, about college football, about the NCAA tournament. They put in players and teams who will get them a rating. It's why Notre Dame always gets the benefit of the doubt over any team in contention with them. It's why a couple years ago in March Madness, Trae Young in Oklahoma made the NCAA tournament, even though they weren't even really on the bubble, and suddenly they showed up in the tournament because Trae Young had been hyped the entire year, right? It wasn't fair. It wasn't just. There was a more deserving team that didn't get in, but the NCAA realized this is an entertainment business, and it's more important for us to appeal to popular interest than it is to be fair. The NBA really is capitalizing on the current situation and saying, well, wait a minute, we have license now to do something different. We couldn't do this if the regular season was ending normally. No one would buy this if we just created this sudden change. But now they're saying, well, there's going to be more than 16 teams in the playoffs. And the one reason why, happened to go to school right up the road here, 20 miles up the road from Greenville, perhaps right where you are today, Spartanburg Day School, Zion Williamson. He is the one reason why the NBA is doing this. And Lonzo, when I was thinking about this and then I was hearing some people discuss this, didn't you have an aha moment, where an epiphany, where suddenly it just clicked and it made sense why they were doing this? Because you, Lonzo, have been wondering why they don't just stick with the regular playoff format. Isn't it clear why they're doing this now?
Oh, I knew why they were doing it. I knew it was for Zion. But still, that's ridiculous. I mean, they're what, three or four games out? There's still no guarantee if they play that he'll actually make the playoffs. So what did they do if they did it for that reason? They come back and play some regular season games, and New Orleans doesn't win another game.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. But at least then you have Zion in the postseason. There is a magnetism to Zion that really kind of defies explanation. Zion Williamson already, he might be the NBA's number one calling card today. Is that a fair thing to say, ladies and gentlemen? Is Zion Williamson, Spartanburg's own Zion Williamson, is he already the NBA's number one calling card? I mean, the Greek Freak is really popular. He's fun to watch. But if you had a choice, if you had a ticket to see one or the other, would you choose Zion? Would you choose the Greek Freak? LeBron James is always a draw. But we've seen LeBron James for 15, 20 years, right? If you had a choice to watch LeBron James or Zion Williamson, if you had a ticket to see either one, who would you choose? You see, folks, as I was going through the stars in the NBA, I came but to but one conclusion. Zion Williamson is already the number one draw in the NBA today. He is the number one movie ticket. And I don't think the NBA has come out and announced this in any way, shape, or form. I don't necessarily even know if this is popularly discussed or known. But he is. Okay? He has surpassed LeBron James as being the number one draw in the league this season. He surpassed Kawhi Leonard, number one draw in the league this season. James Harden, Damian Lillard, anybody that the Boston Celtics have, Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, right? Nobody else, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, anybody you can think of, I believe Zion Williamson is now the number one draw. And as a result of that, the NBA is looking at tweaking this thing to get exactly one player in. Because nobody cares about the Washington Wizards, the 9 seed in the East. Nobody cares about the Charlotte Hornets. No offense, Charlotte. The 10 seed in the East right now. Would you expand the playoffs to get the Charlotte Hornets in? Would you expand the playoffs even to get the Portland Trailblazers in? Of course not. As Brian Windhorst says right here, what you're hearing, what you're seeing, and it's truly unbelievable, is that in this unprecedented time, the NBA is looking at doing something in unprecedented fashion and therefore bringing in four new teams and an unidentified number of additional teams and assistants and team staff and so on and so forth. And it's really all about one guy here per Brian Windhorst.
The league is going to set up this playoff plan to make sure Zion Williamson is involved. Now, I have to tell you, Greeny, that paranoia is at the top of the list with anything in the NBA. This is the course of my 18 years covering the league. They're always paranoid about everything. The league is screwing me, and they're helping that guy. And in this case, you know, there's a number of different reasons why the league would want to have 20 or 24 teams, a number of different reasons to get extra games. But most of those scenarios include making sure that, well, having Zion Williamson in the postseason.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, Lonzo, I thought this was part of it, but as it goes on, it's becoming crystal clear to me this is the only reason. This is the only reason. And do you believe this is justified? Two questions for you on Zion, ladies and gentlemen. If you're the NBA, do you bend the normal rules to get Zion into the playoffs? Do you feel good about doing that? And do you agree or disagree with my opening statement here that Zion Williamson is now the number one draw in the NBA? Apologize to LeBron fans. Apologies. Apologies to Greek freak fans. Kawhi Leonard fans. Zion Williamson is the number one draw in the NBA. He is the only player in NBA history to have 10 consecutive games of 20-plus points scored as a teenager. Only teenager in NBA history ever to do that 10 consecutive games. And oh, by the way, he scored 20-plus points 16 of his 19 games in the NBA. What is it about Zion? Well, he went to Duke. That helps. He's got, I think he's got a mix of strength, speed, athleticism, and smarts that we've never seen in one player before. Sean Kemp, Vince Carter, had Zion Williamson's athleticism, right? Karl Malone had Zion Williamson's strength. But strength, athleticism, speed, and basketball IQ, all in one package? I don't think we've ever seen that before. And then you add the Duke polarizing factor to it. And whether Zion wants to admit this or not, all of the stuff in the last month about Duke paying for his services and will Zion have to admit this, all of this stuff just serves to further the Zion Williamson enigma, right? It's just the mystery of Zion Williamson, the fascination with him. He is quickly entering that class of athletes that we will watch no matter what. Tiger Woods will watch him if he's playing in a charity golf tournament, right? We are magnetized to everything that guy does. And it just so happens that he's from right here. And it's fascinating. And it's incredibly intriguing. And I hope, I don't think it's fair, but I hope the NBA figures out a way to get this guy in the playoffs. Can't wait to see it. All right. Coming up next on the show. I did want to get some thoughts on from the former Furman baseball coach, Ron Smith, coached Furman baseball from 2004 to 2016. A few minutes with Ron on his feelings as to what happened with Furman baseball and if there is any hope it could come back. Ron Smith joins us next here on Offsides. Mark and Lonzo, we are ESPN Upstate. So here's the thing. None of us are happy in any way, shape, or form that Furman has lost its baseball team, that they've lost their men's lacrosse team. We understand the difficulties in terms of finances. New athletic director Jason Donnelly, the new guy, often gets blamed a lot of the time for change. But his hands were tied in terms of the edict he was given. He needed to cut $5 million in expenses. And he looked at the lacrosse team, he looked at the baseball team in as the vehicle in which to do that. But that's left a lot of former players, coaches, alumni, et cetera, feeling very, very upset about the current situation. And joining us right now, he was at a Save Furman Baseball event at Fluor Field last night. He was the head coach of Furman Baseball from 1994 to 2016 and is responsible, almost exclusively responsible, for the new facility that Furman Baseball has. Ron Smith joins us right now on the show. Ron, I've had the chance. You and I have followed each other for most of the time that I've been here on social media. I've truly appreciated your support, and it's our first time getting to have you on the show here today. How are you, Coach?
Well, I'm doing fine, and I must tell you, I was not responsible for that building. It was the generous donors who were responsible.
Sure, but
Mark,
you spearheaded it.
Well, but that is a fact. We had some real – and not just that project. Numerous projects through the years were funded by very, very generous donors who supported Furman and our baseball program, and for that we're very grateful.
Ron Smith joining us here on the show. Ron, in your opinion, did Furman University handle this entire situation the right way?
Well, boy, what a difficult situation it was, particularly for Jason Donnelly. And no university, no university administrator wants to cut a sport. They know that it's going to be painful, and there's going to be huge blowback. And I know that it was discussed and mulled over, you know, at great length. And that was the decision that was made. Do I agree with it? No, I don't agree with it. My mother always said, put yourself in other people's shoes. And I've tried to do that. And, you know, sometimes, Mark, during the – I coached for 38 years, and as a coach, you make a lot of decisions, many of which people disagree with. And you do what – I always tried to do what was best for the individual as long as it was in the confines of what was best for the team. And I think if you expand on that, I think these administrators wanted to do what was best for the individual programs, but it had to be within – the plans of the overall university. So, I wish we could have had an opportunity to maybe come up with some other plans. And that, in essence, is what this group of Furman baseball alumni are exploring. And honestly, Mark, I'm so proud of the way they have handled this. They've been measured. They've not been vindictive. They've been respectful and humble, and they have really tried to take the approach that, hey, what can we do? We understand this is a tough situation. What can we do to help? And it is an uphill climb, however.
I understand that completely. And Ron, you know, it's interesting. We've heard from some Furman players, current players, former players, that were unhappy that this entire process was not something they were brought into. It was just announced. It was a shock to everybody.
There's no good way to do it, Mark.
Right. No, I understand. Yeah. I understand that completely. And Jason Donnelly said, the athletic director said, look, if we thought the number was a number that could be attained through everyone's help and fundraising, we would have entertained that, but we didn't feel like that particular number, $5 million that we have to create, was doable. So, Ron, here is where I, as a host, am willing to step into some controversial territory. You do not have to follow me, okay? But I've got a problem with the Title IX part of this that you have to have proportionate teams, athletic teams, in relation to what your campus enrollment is. So Furman is 60% female to 40% male, roughly. I've got a real problem with the fact that they couldn't eliminate one women's team and one men's team. Title IX, which was designed to create equality, in my opinion, is now creating inequality. I don't agree, and I don't like the fact that Furman had to eliminate two men's teams here.
Well, Title IX is the law of the land. And, you know, as such, Furman is compelled to follow it or...
But is that right, Coach? Is that right, though? I mean, I understand it's the law of the land. I agree with you there. But is that the right thing to do? It's time to, it's time we make some common sense changes to this, no?
Well, the law has to be changed, and that's
yes.
not going to happen. And maybe there, I think there is some wiggle room that possibly could have been explored. But again, I'm not in a position to know all of the factors that went into making the decision. I think Title IX was a factor. I do. I think Title IX was a factor, and there was some concern about the possibility of some lawsuits and that kind of thing. And when you're already in a tough financial situation, you certainly don't want to expose yourself in that area. And I want to be clear. I don't agree with what was done. I don't like it. But again, I was not privy to all of the information, and I try to look at both sides of it. And I think what has kind of resulted is the university is maybe a little more aware of the value of the baseball program. I felt like we were often undervalued. I know we were underfunded. I know
sure.
that. And that's been a, you know, we always had to do fundraising to for our operating budget. My first, I think 7 or 8 years, we had 4 scholarships. Then we went up to 6 and finally got to 9 at some point, which, and as you know, the maximum is 11.7.
Yes.
Well, it's pretty hard to compete when you've got a school as expensive as Furman and you don't have as many scholarships as most of the other schools in your league. Nonetheless, Mark, I felt like we put a very competitive team on the field. And what we did off the field, we were very involved with the Miracle League. That was awesome. Very involved with Versus Cancer, Habitat for Humanity, and then very involved with the Greenville Hospital System visiting there. So I was there for 23 years, and every kid who stayed for the entire 4 years graduated, and it averaged about 10 a year.
That's great.
230 graduates, I was a part of their lives, and for that I'm very grateful. I know we have at least 50 doctors or dentists. Who knows how many lawyers? Who knows how many executives, educators? Just a really a remarkable group of baseball alumni, and I'm very proud. Very proud of that.
And you should be proud, Coach. That's outstanding. Congratulations on that. That's incredible. And I need to say as well, everyone that I've met affiliated with the university in any way, I've just walked away incredibly impressed. We are huge Furman advocates here on the show. I'd like to see Furman become Greenville's college, in terms of sports fandom here. So let me ask you this, Coach. You said you didn't agree with the decision. In a hypothetical world that I'm going to ask you to step in with me just for a few minutes here, you and I are co-athletic directors of Furman. We have been given an edict by the school that we need to cut $5 million. You've just told me you didn't agree with the decision that was made, but we've received this edict. I'm going to you, Ron, and I'm saying, Coach, I don't want to cut the baseball team. We've got to cut $5 million. You don't agree with this. I don't agree with this. What are we doing? What would you have done differently, Coach?
Well, that's what the baseball alumni are exploring.
Okay.
They're trying to come up with some different things. And, the problem with maybe cutting some other sports a little bit, cutting their scholarships a little bit, it makes it tougher for them to compete in all of the sports. So it brings down the entire athletics program. I think that's the reason that didn't happen. But listen, I'm speaking from I have great prejudice towards the baseball program.
Many people in this area do.
This is a baseball state.
Sure.
Let's face it. I mean, yeah. Of course, it's a football state, number one, and a lot of basketball. But the baseball, I think one year there were, in 2005, I think there were six teams from the state of South Carolina that went to the NCAA tournament. Remarkable for a state our size. But, you've got two of the most prestigious baseball programs in the country in South Carolina. And Clemson, of course, and, just up and down the line, it's a baseball state. And so, that's a tough question. You tell me, what would you do?
Well, no problem. I'm happy to tell you what I would do. So they said before this happened, they said they were going to need to cut 25 scholarships before they realized they were going to have to cut teams. With all due respect to men's lacrosse, last one in, first one out, losing $1.7 million. No decision is easy, but you have to make that decision. And then I would risk the lawsuit. I would cut the female athletic program, the women's athletic program that was losing the most money because I'm not going to get rid of baseball. Worst case scenario, Coach, you are the third most valuable athletic program on campus. That is the absolute worst case scenario. There is such a feel-good community vibe. I got to meet some of the current players on the team. The community really supports this particular team. And I think the thing that I understand the Title IX's the lay of the land. I get that completely. I'm just bothered by what that's doing to athletic programs, number one and number two. I think it wasn't really fair to do this kind of under the cloud of darkness and nobody has any idea this is about to happen, and then everyone gets a bomb dropped on them. I didn't particularly like the way that part of it was handled, Coach, if I'm completely honest. But I do want to ask
you. Yeah. Go ahead.
I do want to ask you this. You were at the event last night. What is the best idea that you're hearing? What is the idea that you're hearing that might be the most hopeful?
Well, I think it is a really, really uphill climb.
Okay.
And right now, we have a young man, Dominic Frankie Rancini, who is from Cincinnati and really a really good player and a fine man. And they just want to open dialogue and keep an open dialogue and explore. And, Furman has always set itself apart from other schools. And maybe we can, in this tough time with the COVID and all of the financial resources that have been tested, maybe we can explore some things working together with the university and the university's administration and come up with some really good ideas that would lead the way to save the program.
Yeah.
And again, these guys have not been vindictive, but they are hurting. These guys, I talked to these guys last night, and I guess about 40 of them there. And that's remarkable because they just decided to do it yesterday afternoon. And but they're hurting, and they just want to explore ways to save our program. And I so appreciate that. But I also appreciate, the position of Jason Donnelly. I appreciate he's endured a tough few days, but as he should, that's part of it.
I understand that completely. Ron Smith is an area legend, coached Furman from 1994 to 2016. He doesn't want to take sole credit for the new facility, but he was He was a huge part of that new facility taking place. Ron, so many different people have shared their experiences to me with you. So many of our listeners have reached out to me to express how hurt they are about this. I agree with you that pointing the finger of blame is not the right thing to do. The correct approach is to get everybody together and to positively brainstorm ways in which positive change can take place. And it's great to hear that.
That is exactly right. And you mentioned something about us being connected to the community. And we did that a number of ways, as I mentioned, the Malden Miracle League and our visits to the hospital, the Habitat. We had the Upstate Diamond Classic, which was a dinner that was 22 years old. And we had great speakers. We had 500 or 600 people come. It was a great kickoff dinner, and I thought that was really strong. And then, of course, playing at Fluor Field 6 or 7 times a year, and when we played Clemson and South Carolina, we had really nice crowds there. I think the first time we played South Carolina, there were 7,000 people there, and that was a lot of fun. So I thought we did a lot of good things like that. And so I think the value of the baseball program, unfortunately, a lot of people only looked at just the cost, the numbers. They didn't really appreciate the value of the program. And hopefully some changes can be made. We come up with some good ideas. I'm not smart enough to come up with them. But I'll just say it again. The baseball alumni have really done a nice job, and they've handled themselves impeccably with respect and humbleness. And so again, I'm proud of them. And the cool thing is hearing about all these players' appreciation, especially 10 years later, what the program meant to them. I've gotten hundreds of text messages and things, and that's been kind of nice, but I it's sad that it's under these circumstances.
Coach Ron Smith, area legend, 1994 to 2016, Furman Baseball. Coach, we look forward to hopefully speaking with you again soon. Thank you so much for sharing your perspective. Thanks for everything you've done for Furman and this community. Please stay healthy and safe, all right?
A pleasure to talk with you, Mark.
Thank you so much. Coach Ron Smith from Furman University. Your thoughts on that interview? We have a really interesting text that's come in on that. We will get to that. Plus, boy, I don't envy the position of a select few players heading into what could be the 2020 season. I'll explain next. Here on Offsides, we are ESPN Upstate. All right, so a texter says, F you, Furman will never be Greenville's team because 75% of the students are from out of state. To which I say, let's check Clemson's roster, shall we? 2020 recruiting class from 16 different states across the country. 2021 recruiting class, not one player from the state of South Carolina in the 2021 recruiting class. Does that mean that Clemson is not the upstate's college football team? Does that mean that Clemson isn't even the town of Clemson's college football team because the players aren't from there? Texter, that's a pretty weak argument if I've ever heard one, okay? You can pick any team in any sport, and the vast majority of the players are not from there if you're not talking about a high school team. Right? And yet you still pull for them, and yet you still cheer for them. All right? Many cheered for Cam Newton for years. Not from North Carolina. Okay? Doesn't matter. Completely and totally irrelevant. You know, I would love to see Furman become more of Greenville's team. I would love to see that develop over time. Right? I would. So there you go. There you go. All right. 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Texter says he said student body, reading comprehension, try it. Again, student body, student athletes, irrelevant. Irrelevant. It's where the students are from. Look, the population of Greater Greenville is 400,000 people. All right. Furman University is a small school with a small campus. But I would very much like the city of Greenville to wave the flag for Furman and claim it at its own, as its own. I'd really like to see that. I don't think it has anything to do with where the students are from. All right? I really don't. All right. Coming up next on the show, a not-so-subtle sign from one NFL team to its superstar about what the future looks like. We'll tell you what that is next. Here on Offsides, we are ESPN Upstate. All right, it's Offsides. Mark and Lonzo, ESPN Upstate. So this whole Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers thing in Green Bay is really kind of fascinating. And the more you think about it, the more you realize what it said that the Packers drafted Jordan Love in a move that I really completely still disagree with, right? They made it to the NFC Championship game. They drafted a guy that's not going to help them for 3 years. They were almost there. They did nothing to get better. And, oh, by the way, San Francisco, all they did was get Javon Kinlaw in the first round. San Francisco got better. Green Bay got worse. But here's what that tells you. The fact that they made that move, what does it say? It says that the organization now values Matt LaFleur more than they value Aaron Rodgers, which is really saying something. Age factors into that. Attitude factors into that. Drama factors into that. Prima donna ways factor into that. But what that tells you is Matt LaFleur is really calling the shots. He had a guy that he loves in Jordan Love, who they tell me, and I don't believe this, but they tell me he has a lot of Patrick Mahomes-like qualities. I guess you're going to start to see a lot of teams trying to find the next Patrick Mahomes. I don't see that in Jordan Love per se. But, you know, look, Matt LaFleur clearly irked by Aaron Rodgers' ways to the point that he's sending a message. You know, like, he's the boss. Aaron, you're here on my terms. I call the shots, and the organization has my back. And isn't this kind of refreshing right now in a sports landscape where the stars are always valued more than the players, that at least one organization, the coach is valued more than the stars? I don't know. I kind of like it, if I'm honest with you. All right, the Senior Sports Spotlight is coming your way next. Caden DeFronzo will join the show. Looking forward to speaking with him. You're Offsides with Mark and Lonzo right here on ESPN Upstate.